Al and Woody Carries. And just a real joy and a privilege to have you, Al. And so be ready to receive. It'll be good stuff this morning. And I'm ready. I'm ready for whatever the Lord has. I hope I'm ready for whatever the Lord has for us through Al this morning. Let's give him a welcome.
Okay, so how many of you know me? Well, only a few. I could not, therefore, lie a lot, couldn't I? My name's Al, and I've been part of this church from the beginning, really, I guess. And I live in Marlow, and I am the proud father of two amazing kids. So I have the fortune of marrying a lady who's 10 years younger than me. I mean, that's cool, isn't it? And she's a babe. It's even better. So I'm very fortunate. So what I want to talk about today is something that's really close to my heart. So I've been in church, babes, yeah. I've been in church an awfully long time. And I want you just all of you just to close your eyes for a moment. And if you've had this experience, I just want you to remember the first time that God really got hold of you. Just that first time that you ever felt his presence. That first time, when he just locked into you. The king is here, and the king is inside of you. That's what we've just been singing. I just want you to remember now the times in your walk where you just know the Father's just come to you, and he's met you. Sometimes in really, really difficult seasons. I also want you to remember the times when it felt like he wasn't there at all. And it was very, very tough. But you carried on. The times when it felt like, and all evidence was, that prayers were not being answered. I want you to remember the times when there was that breakthrough for that friend that you prayed for that life that you cared about. And God turned up. I want you to remember your childhood, growing up, the friends that were placed around you, your family, all those journeys of your life. Okay, open your eyes. What I want you to know is from the very second that you were conceived to this day, he's had a plan for you. And sometimes it's felt like it hasn't gone according to plan. Or am I the only one in the room? Hello? You know, I did not enjoy burying five children when I led this church of cancer. I did not enjoy that. That was not in the script. Yeah? That wasn't what I planned. This is what I've come to realize. The more and more I look at my life, the more and more I understand that there is no divide in my worship. There is no divide between the sacred and the secular. I am worshipping God just as much when I'm in my workplace doing my work as when I'm standing here doing this. And God chooses to invade whenever he wants to invade. And he has no boundaries in his head at all as to where he's going to touch me or where he's going to reach me. He doesn't care whether it's on the loo, in the bath, having a shower, with my friends, in my most intimate moments with my wife, at any point he wants to reach me and touch me and move me and build me. And what we do so often is we don't really think about our lives like that. We kind of, how we work it is, we kind of think ourselves with like a ministry box over here. And we run over here and we see ourselves in our church role over here. And we see ourselves over here as a father. Or we see ourselves over here as a businessman or our work. And we almost read it as separate books or volumes, but you see, the book of your life is the book of your life. And God is weaving through that book. He's weaving through every chapter, every page, and he's drawing those things together. And what he's doing is he's creating that perfect storm in your life. And I've had a situation recently where I have walked into a perfect storm in my life. And I've suddenly realized all those things that God wants to, that are unique to me. So, let's give you an example. One of the things that is unique about me, or special about unique is a big word, is that I walk in a lot, is I'm a highly creative person. That's what I do. I'm a conceptual creative thinker. I have been from the age of 6. I just think like that. So consequently, I'm now ending up running a branding agency, running a company that builds brands for companies. So he takes that. I'm somebody who's basically just loves partying. I love being around people. Yeah? So he takes that. Do you get me? I'm highly dyslexic. Okay? He takes that. Do you get me? I'm highly relational. So he takes that. Do you get me? So he takes all his pockets of my life. I understand about psychology and behavior. I've studied it. So he takes that. I understand about concepts and creativity. So he takes that. Whatever I put my hand to, he takes. So whatever you've done in your career, whatever you've done in your life, he wants to take that thing and use that thing. And what he wants to do is he wants to put those things together. And out of all of that, he wants you to speak. You see, when you walk into a room, Jesus walks into a room. When you walk into a room, God walks into a room. And he doesn't leave part of you behind. He takes the sum total of who you are and the journey you've had together, and it's that that walks into the room. It's that that's present. People capture the sum total of who you are. You are a letter. You are a book. People capture your letter. The question is, what letter are you writing? What letter are you giving away? What's that letter like? Is that letter an aggressive letter or a patient letter? Is it a listening letter or a telling letter? So many Christians are great at telling. They're just rubbish at listening. And that's why nobody listens to them. Hello? So are you a listening letter or are you just a telling letter? Huh? So what I've become to realize is this. God wants me to be his letter. He wants me to be his living word. He wants me to be a little Christ, incarnation, the one that walks around that is of him. And he wants to take every single aspect of my personality and character, and he's working through those things, changing, moulding, because I don't know about you, but I haven't quite reached perfection yet. Hello? Do you know what? I lose my temper. Hello? I'm moody. I'm grumpy. Hello? I'm impatient. I'm selfish. Hello? Or am I the only one in the room? Yes, 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 yes. I'm the only one? Oh, you're so good. I'll leave now. I better sit down. You can all teach me. Those things don't count me out. They count me in. They count me into grace. They count me into brokenness. They count me into change. They count me into transformation. Isn't that what the gospel's about, being changed and transformed? So, therefore, de facto, what's being transformed is rubbish. Hello? So let's stop worrying about the rubbish and just acknowledge we're being transformed. Let's frame it a different way. Take time to acknowledge for you the season that you're in. Think about the season that you're in. For some of you, it's a great season. For some of you, it's a difficult season. For some of you, it's a building season. For some of you, you've built something, and now you've built, you need to move on to the next thing. Take time to notice the seasons that the Father has for you. Acknowledge those things in your life that he has built and done a darned good job with, and don't be embarrassed about it, because he has. He's done some great things in this room. in your lives. At the same time, acknowledge those things where you could just do with a bit of help. And that is what Riverfest is all about. It's a weekend to strengthen you and to build you. If you're not going, you're bonkers. You should be going. I'll lay it right out there. Because you will learn so much. You're going to sit under one of the finest church leaders literally in the planet at the moment coming to that place. I've met him, Darren Northrop. He's extraordinary. It's going to be incredible worship, incredible fellowship, and I guarantee everybody that goes there has an encounter with God. So why would you not go? Make it a priority. Be there. Because God wants to build you there. That's a big plug and a deliberate plug. And yes, I'm twisting your arm. Intentionally. Because I want you to be blessed. I'm going. This is what's been happening to me. I want to tell some stories. All this work that's going on in my life, God wants to give away. Revival is not going to come by a series of endless meetings with big stars, Christian stars, up the front sharing. That will not work anymore. The reason why it won't work anymore is incredibly simple. When guys like Billy Graham came and did that, in our culture, there was a culture that believed in prayer, that read its Bible and understood church. Therefore, it worked in that culture. We are no longer in that culture. Most people don't know what church is. They don't read their Bibles and they don't have a God-centric life. It won't work. What will work is when God's family starts to share their story. Jesus was the best storyteller of all, wasn't he? So you and I need to really think about our story and crafting our story in a way that people can understand and get it. And what people want is honesty and reality. They want to know the days when you don't believe at all. Hello? They want to know about the times when your prayers weren't answered as much as they know about the times when your prayers were answered. Met a guy on a train coming out of London. Sitting in first class. In first class, nobody speaks to each other. They all just sit there on their laptops working away. I thought, stuff it. He looks a nice guy. I'm going to go and say hi. I said, hi, I'm Al. Who are you? He hasn't got a lot of choice now, really, has he, really? He said, I'm Barry. Barry? What does Barry do? What's Barry interested in? Was my question. What's Barry interested in? It's a very open question. So, of course, Barry shared loads of things. Just because I asked an open question. So he started to share. So we shared some stuff together. We got off the train. And he said, do you think I can meet for a coffee? I said, yeah, let's go for a coffee. So we go for a coffee. And we have a great time having a coffee. We talk about ways in which we can work together. And then he goes, I need to tell you a bit about what I do. So I said, okay, what do you do? So he said, well, I work in football. I said, okay. And it turns out this guy works at a really high level in football. Works at Ferguson, Wenger, Capello, all of them. Management level in football. Really high level guy. So he said, I want to talk to you about helping you with some of your charity work within the Christian sector. So I said, that case, it's a meal on me at a great restaurant. Why? Because I want to create a culture of generosity and a culture of approval and a culture of value. I said, I'm going to take you to my favourite restaurant in Fulham, in Chelsea. So I took him to the Bluebird. It was my favourite restaurant. We sat down. And as I sat down, the Holy Spirit said to me, you are just to be brutally honest about where you are in everything. And I just shared where I really was in life. I shared about the good stuff in my business, the bad stuff in my business. I shared about my spiritual journey. I shared all this stuff. And he just kept asking me question after question. And then I stopped. And I filled his glass of wine and said, "Over to you, buddy. Your time to share." And you know, as I did it, I thought, this is communion. Huh? I'm reframing communion here. I'm sharing life. So I gave him some bread. Here's some bread. And I thought, oh my God, I'm doing communion. I'm doing communion. I don't even realize what I'm doing. Do you get me? He shared his life. Shared his life for half an hour. More than that. An hour and a half. At the end of the time, he turned around to me and he said, "Al, I realize in being with you, I've rediscovered my spiritual roots. I found something in here. It's all about language." He doesn't need to be told, you need to get saved. He doesn't need to hear that. He doesn't need to be told all the things he's been done wrong. He just needs a genuine encounter with somebody who will honestly share about their strengths and weaknesses and will talk around who they are. And then, as my friend Miriam puts it, get to the awkward moment. Do you know what the awkward moment is? It's when he mentioned that name, Jesus. It's always the awkward moment, or am I the only one? It's awkward, isn't it? It's just awkward. But you know, the more you build the relationship, the easier it gets to have the awkward moment. Michelle, I'm in a one-to-one. So what I do, one of the things I do in my job is I help companies build brands. So I'm doing this brand lecture in an institution in London, so a very formal institution. I've done a morning session on brand, I then go into one-to-ones. And she's given me permission to share this story. Her name's Michelle. Michelle comes in. Michelle's early 30s, extremely bright. Used to work for Heineken, was a brand manager for Heineken, overseeing all the major brands. Got out of it because she felt, now listen to this, she felt she wanted to help the youth of our nation and empower those that couldn't get jobs. So she ditched it all in. She then got funding for £250,000 from an entrepreneur because she's a very bright lady. And she launched this company called Inventing Futures. What a great name, Inventing Futures. And she came to me with a view to me helping her with her brand. So we're doing all this brand stuff, you see. Doing all this technical stuff around brand, how you construct your brand. You don't have to know about it. You'll get the story in a minute. And then I go, okay, and by the way, I've got my client sitting next to me throughout all of this, by the way. So just imagine this. I'm in a commercial setting, okay? I'm in a commercial setting in London. So I say to Michelle, can we just draw a line here? Is that all right? So she said, yeah. I said, can I go to Insight now? She said, yeah. I said, pretending you're Michelle, why is it that you are so, I'm sorry I did use this language, you are so crap at being, but so very good at doing. And tears welled up in her eyes, and she went, oh, I didn't realize this was a counseling session. I said, no, that comes for free. Do you want to draw a line and stop now? No, 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 she said. Explain to him more. I said, you've just sat here for the last hour talking about doing, and all the things you're doing. But what I see is somebody doesn't really know about being. Just about being. So she says, listen to this. So how do I get to being? So I said, well, there's another line here I'm going to draw, and you can cross this line with me or not. And if I'm not explain this very well, then let's try something else. But let me try this on you. I said, my being comes out of the fact that I know I'm loved. And I said, for me, love is a profound place to go to know I'm cared for. And for me, that love is expressed in knowing that I have a father that loves me. I have two fathers that love me. I have an earthly father that loves me. And I have a heavenly father that loves me. And really, my being comes out of that relationship with those two people. 4 weeks later, she says, I need to see you again and talk to you more about working together. We go to the Renaissance Hotel at St. Pancras. And as she arrives and sits down, she says to me, "Can you find me a church?" Text from her last week. "Great meeting you yesterday. Bounced off the ideas of using that program with Oasis. Really excited about us working together. So keen to meet your wife, Sandra." Safe, isn't it? 30-year-old lady. Do you know one thing she liked about me most of all? In fact, I spent the whole time telling her how gorgeous my wife was. Why did I do that? To make her feel safe. She said, "I'm just dying to meet Sandra. You keep talking about it all the time." She said, "I just hope I'm much in love as you are." And then she goes on and shares a load of things to do with her personal life where she now wants help from me. Because it's a safe area to do all that stuff in. "Good morning, Al. I just wanted to thank you. I'm so thankful you came into my life. You've had a profound influence on my life path. I'm on the most wonderful journey of being. I can't wait to work with you. More importantly, to get to know you better as a friend. Have a wonderful day, Al." Who feels more blessed? I do. I don't go around anymore saying, not that I ever did very much, "I have a prophetic word for you." What I go to people and I say is, "Do you know what? I've got a word picture for you." They get that. So I've got a picture for you, a word to do with your life, that I can sum as a little picture, a little image for you. People get images. And I speak off the back of that. There are three lists, which are three of the most famous lists in Scripture, that talk about what we are as we walk in the Spirit and who we are. You've read these lists, if you're Christians, hundreds and hundreds of times, probably. This is the first list. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Isn't that just fantastic? How good is that verse? Or am I the one who gets excited by it? Okay? Right. Now, I don't want you to have one of those really annoying Christian humble unreality moments now, all right? I know you're humble on me. I want you to be honest, right? Which of those are you good at? I'll tell you what I'm good at. I'm good at that. I'm pretty good at that. I'm pretty good at that. I'm not so good at that one. And I'm not very strong on that. Forbearance. Yep. So, okay, which ones are you strong in? Come on, shout them out. Who thinks they're really good at kindness here? Put your hand up. Okay? Okay, let's go through the list. Who's good at love? Who's good at joy? Who's good at peace? Who's good at forbearance? Who's good at kindness? Who's good at goodness? Who's good at faithfulness? Who's good at gentleness? Who's good at self-control? Right. Remember your top three. Got your top three in your head? Got them? Got them? Yeah. So my top three would be probably there, and probably there. Next list. Now, to each of the manifestations the Spirit is given for the common good. Why are they given? Are they given for the church? No. They're not. Doesn't say the church there, does it? So why are we using them mostly in the church, not outside the church? Question. They're there for common good, for practice, exactly. They're there for the world. They're there for everybody. The major reason for the manifestation of the Spirit is not for you, it's for the world. Hello? When Jesus says to Peter, upon this church I will build my... Yes, that famous verse in Matthew. Got it over here. Just nick it here. This is one of the worst translated verses in the Bible. Really is bad, the way it's generally translated. This is it. You know, Peter's confession of the Christ. He says, "And upon this rock I will build my church. Wrong translation. Do you know why? You've heard this a billion times. The word church is ecclesia. That's actually a Greek word. It wasn't written in Greek. It was written in Aramaic. Do you know what the word really is? It's community. Upon this community. Hello, that's different, isn't it? So why are you here? We're here to build a community within a community, to touch a community. We need to be community leaders. If that means going and helping that guy next door, or if it means going out there and running the kids club, or whatever it means, what we need is community leaders, people that will build community. Because Jesus is where the people are, he's in community. Hello? So let's stop worrying about whether I'm good at spiritual gifts and good at all these things, and let's go and build community. Let's go and just be who we are. Now, to one each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. To one is given a message of wisdom, another message of knowledge, another message of faith, another gifts of healing, another miraculous powers, another prophecy, another is distinguishing between spirits, another is speaking different kinds of tongues, another interpreting tongues. Okay, look at that list again. Okay. Which three do you operate in? I operate mainly in that one. I've got two that stand out by a mile. I operate in that and that. By a mile, those are the two things operating more than the others. Okay? Now let's go to the third list. God has placed the church, first of all, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle, healing, helping, guidance, different kinds of tongues. So what do you operate in most of all? Administration is another version you can put in there. And also shove on the end evangelist for me. I won't go into why it's not in that text. It's too much of a long story. Add in evangelism and add in administration. Apostle. Let's reframe the word apostle. Apostle means builder. Apostle means something that thinks structurally. Apostle means something that knows how to create the big structure. So somebody like Collins Church is an apostle. He knows how to structure the bigger picture and make it happen and build it. Think CEO if you want. That helps you. Because it's a loaded word. Prophet. For prophet, think seer. Think somebody that's always thinking out there, or is always looking out there, is always imagining. Teacher. Teacher's fairly opposite. Miracles is fairly opposite. Healing, helping, guidance. What a wonderful thing. So, what two or three do you operate in most of all? Do you know what I do? I just link those things together in my life. It's no more complicated than that. I'm just self-aware. So, let's go to the first slide. When I walk into a room, I'm thinking, okay, what is it today? A bit of kindness, a bit of faithfulness, or a bit of love? What's needed today? Because I know I can operate in those things. You know you can, you've just confessed it. I stop worrying about what I can't do. I stop worrying about not being very good at this. Because do you know what happens? I find when I operate in this, this and this, I get better at that. I get better at it. I don't condemn myself for being rubbish at forbearance. Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm bad at forbearance. Dear Lord, I'm his kid and I'm good at love. Hello? So I just walk in it. I walk in as much of that as I can, and I build that as much as I can in my life. I let scripture, worship, my friends, boot me around, and tell me around, and tell me what I'm doing well and doing badly. And I just try and walk in that. So I expect to walk into a room and to move in love, peace, kind. I expect to bring those things. And then the great thing is, when you really get into these lists, you walk in and you go, do you know what I think's needed here? I think a bit of peace is needed here. I'll just bring a bit of peace today. So you walk into a room, two people in your family having a major row. It isn't rocket science to work out what you've got to bring, is it? It's a bit of peace, isn't it? Yes? Isn't it? Okay, then I'll just walk in a bit of peace. I just try and bring peace. Father, now, fill me with peace. Fill me with your peace for these people. Bang. Do you know what I find? That's a prayer that often gets answered. So let's go to the next list. So what am I doing there? I'm trying to walk in wisdom. Probably of all those things, the thing I'm really focusing on is walking in wisdom for me. It's the real thing. It's having a moment, as my friend calls it. Al's having a moment with somebody. He's just bringing something profound. Just bringing some insight. Just bringing something out of that number of years of walking with Jesus, which is quite a lot, by the way. What is that out of that? There is such wisdom embedded in this room. There is such wisdom sitting here, sitting here, sitting here. There's so much. The years bring wisdom. Years bring wisdom, don't they? Don't they? Then please give it away. Please don't leave it to yourself. But please, when you give it in kindness, give it in forbearance, give it in patience. Yeah? And then just begin to acknowledge what God is building you into. I was speaking to some guys recently, educationist guy, big sort of head honcho in something. And we had half an hour together. And he turned around to me and he said this. He said, "I think you are a prophet." Do you know what I said to him? I said this. And the more I thought about it, I thought, Alistair, that was really quite good. I said, "Some say I am. Some say I am. But what am I to you?" Am I a teacher to you today? Or am I a prophet to you today? Or am I bringing wisdom into your life today? What am I bringing? You see, when you see it like that, suddenly sharing our faith is so much easier. It's not me trying to be something I'm not. It's me operating out of what I do. And not getting hung up on what I don't do. For too long, this is how we've done it. We've been so obsessed. Obsessed is the word. We've been so obsessed with the how and the what. We've been so obsessed with what do you believe? What are you doing? What are your sexual behaviours, which we either judge, condone, or don't condone? World, what are you doing with your money, which we condone or don't condone? What are you doing with the influence, which we condone or don't? And we go to the how. How are you living? What is going on in your living? What is happening in your life? And we go, how and what, how and what? Don't go to the why. Why are you here? Why am I here? I can get really screwed as I step out in my prophetic gift of thinking, oh my word, how or what? How do I do it? What do I say? Or am I the only one? But when I go to the why, when I go to why am I here, I'm here because it's compassion. When I go to compassion, then I have to speak. Because I've gone to the why. And people catch why, not how and what. They don't want to know how and what to live. They want to know why to live. What's the why? What's the thing right in here? What's it in here? What's the inner thing in here? What's the why? Do you know what my why is? My why is incredibly simple. I'm loved by a father. What an incredible why. What an incredible why to operate out of. What a fantastic way to live. Not getting screwed by the how and the what. Not worrying too much about the how and the what. Understanding that I'm a work in progress. Understanding I've got so much to learn. But most of all, understanding the why. And the why is I'm loved. So I'm going to go. And it's just about breaking it down for people in steps. It's just about being authentic. It's about being who we are. So you might say, do you know, Al, I'm not very good with words. It's all right for you. Can we go back to the gifts again? The fruit of the Spirit. I'm not very good with words, Al. It's all right for you. Yes, those are pretty good observations. You're quite a smart cookie. You might not think that. Whatever you think, you're quite weird. You'll probably think that. You're quite skinny. You'll definitely think that. I'm not very good at that stuff, but do you know, I think I'm quite good at this. So what does that look like? Well, that looks like me looking after the lady next door and helping make sure that the milk arrives on time once a week for her. Or it looks like me helping that guy at work that everybody else knows isn't really up to his job and me just spending 10 minutes with him to explain to him how that process works. Or it's about, do you get my rhythm? Do you get my rhythm? That is walking in the Holy Spirit. As much as you sitting here today singing a song. But I would say it's more. Why? Because, big revelation, Jesus didn't have a guitar. Hello? He had quite a bit of kindness, didn't he? So, you are a bit like an innocent smoothie. You are so packed full with fruit, you don't realize it. So why don't you go and be innocent and give away your fruit? Just go and be naive. Just go and be like a kid. I find when I'm like a kid, I'm innocent. The Holy Spirit really turns up. Just be an innocent smoothie. Just be packed full of fruit. Just give it away. And the funny thing about the smoothies is some of them look absolutely green and disgusting, but they're still good for you. And you might on days feel green and disgusting. You might feel very disgusting and very green and very snotty. So what? You're still an innocent smoothie. I just thought of that. That's quite nice. That's quite nice, though, isn't it? It's a good line, that, isn't it? You can get little bubble hats to wear as well, if you like. Do you see those a few months ago? You put on your little bubble hat and wear that. Wear your little innocent smoothie bubble hat. Okay. Let's close our eyes. If you feel called to acts of kindness, I'd like you to stand. If you know that's the thing you've really got to walk in these next few months, it's acts of kindness, I'd like you to stand. If none of you, that's fine. It's all over you, isn't it? It's all you ever do is give out acts of kindness. It's all you know to do. You're known in your street as the kind one. You're known in the street as the one that cares. You need to know that in your street things are going to break. As people you be praying for, just in your street, some neighbours in your street, you need to know the Holy Spirit's coming upon those people. And through your love, through your kindness, something's breaking in the kingdom of God in your very street and also in your family. You've been praying for years and years and years and years and years and years and years for your immediate family. And you need to know the Holy Spirit's breaking into that. And for you at the back, it's so true. And you are called to build communities of kindness. I see on you communities of kindness. I see on you an ability to gather and draw people together around kindness. And you've got some projects in your heart that are just around acts of kindness. You need to go and darn well do it. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. You need to go and do it. And it's such a simple secular thing you're thinking, no, 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 no. It's an act of kindness. Go and build on it. Okay. Who thinks they're good at goodness? Sit down, please. Who feels they want to bring some goodness? Anybody want to bring some goodness? You can stand again if you like. You just stood. I don't mind. Who wants to bring some faithfulness? Who feels they carry faithfulness? Look at these people. Isn't this fantastic? Just look around. Look at your friends. Come on, look at them. Faithfulness. Well, it just drips off you, darling. All the time. Faithful, 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 faithful. Oh, me? Oh, yes, you. You don't think but to be faithful. There's not a nasty bone in your body. You're just clean as anything. And there have been many, many times in your life you've had a reason to hold a grudge, particularly to do with your immediate family. And it's been very, very tough at times to hold that line, to be faithful. And you've been faithful when really unfaithfulness was a much easier option. And God just says thank you. He just says thank you, darling. Okay. Who's good at gentleness? Who wants to walk in some gentleness? Do you see how much fruit of the Holy Spirit there is in this congregation? It's extraordinary, isn't it? So much gentleness. Isn't it? Such a mothering spirit. So much gentleness. So much gentleness. So much gentleness. Thank you for being so gentle. So gentle. So in your eyes, such a carer. You just know people. You read a room very, very quickly. You know exactly what's going on. You pick up all the dynamics going on in a room. You know people are hurting or not hurting. It's on you, darling. It's really, really on you. Speak out those things you see. You know. Other people are going on, what the hell's going on in this room? And you know straight away what's going on in this room. It's all over you. Okay, let's sit down now, shall we? Let's just close our eyes. I'll finish with this. I want to ask you a question. Who's your Michelle and who's your Barry? Who are your people? As much as I love being with you, I love ministering in this church. Take this the right way. At one level, I'm slightly bored with it. Because the thing that I really, really want to do is prophesy to the lost. So I've asked God to give me 5 people. Because I believe, you see, what you have in your hand, you should use. And this is my hand. So just open your eyes a moment, look at my hand. And I'm saying, this is my hand. And I'm saying, God, I'm not going to keep asking for what's not in my hand. And keep worrying about that. I'm not walking what I need to walk in. Who cares? I'm just going to walk in what's in my hand. So I have, one of them's a couple, because I can't quite keep it under 5. Those are my 5. And I thought about that. I kept my hand, and when I put my hand in my pocket, I think, may it be a prayer. When I wash my hands in the morning, I think, may their life be washed by your presence. I just use symbolism to help me. So I just think about my hand. I look at my hand and I pray over my fingers. And perhaps sometimes I just sit there and I just do this. Just to think about the lives. Because I don't think I can do more than 5 and do it properly. And not really honour them and be friends with them. Because, you see, my mission is not to get them saved. My mission is to be their friend. Because that's what Jesus has taught me. When Jesus found me, he didn't find me for anything more than to be my friend. He wanted fellowship with me. He just wanted friendship. And if out of that friendship something emerges, that's great. Will I stop being their friends if they don't respond? Do you know why I won't? Because if I don't, I'm not walking in that. Because that's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I have no idea of God's plan in their life. I have no idea of what he's doing or how he's moving or what he's doing. A lot of people wrote me off. My father was the last person you'd expect to have been saved. Been in special armed forces, slaughtered thousands of men. God met him. The last person I thought was going to get saved was my dad. The very, very last person, intellectual military officer, hard as nails, but very compassionate, a rugby man. I thought, we don't stand a chance. But God got hold of him. People are looking for this almost more than anything else in our culture. Jesus has been so good at this with you. It's time to give this away. Let's close your eyes. Jesus, 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 Jesus. You just have a quiet moment with God, with your Father now. Just have an authentic conversation with him about anything.